Paul, thank you so much for the Maggids for hosting. I really, really appreciate it. Yeah. Well, no, thank you. Thank you, Miriam, for like sending it out and helping advertise it. I really appreciate it. So, yeah. So thanks for hosting. Thanks for advertising. Thank you, everyone, for coming. So what really spurred this this topic, was not a Mishpacha article. Like I was just saying, no, the Mishpacha article came afterwards. But, you know, throughout the years, certainly the past year and a half, so I've gotten a lot of questions which really center around the world of davening and tefillah. Like, what's my basic minimum? Like, can I eat before davening? Like, I'm not feeling well, so like, what am I supposed to do? So those types of questions. And often, and certainly, you know, in talking to multiple people, there like can be this, you know, expression, and I saw this noted multiple times in this article after I was thinking about this. This expression of almost like this stress of having to know like, okay, but I have to daven and I have to, you know, cover this amount per day or I have to, whatever I think I have to do. And then there's also the guilt because if I don't have the time, life is crazy. So if I don't have the time, so I feel guilty maybe about, okay, so I'm not actually fulfilling my chiyuv, right? I'm not getting in my obligation. And then there's the added part, which I'm sure just is applicable in so many places in life. And we start off in one place in life, early in life. And, you know, we have different ways of Avodas Hashem, like different, you know, success or different ways of connecting to Hashem or connecting to Yiddishkeit. And then life changes. Different responsibilities come for everyone in their own different lives. And it changes along the way. But maybe our perspectives don't always change with that. And so the same way I was used to be connecting is not the way I'm connecting now. And so that can often, there's a disconnect between that. So if you're like me or really anyone else, so just your day is crazy, right? How's your week? I'm tired, right? Has anyone ever responded, I'm wide awake, I'm ready to go? That just doesn't exist, right? You know, so for anyone, you know, with a job, with working, with kids, life is crazy. You know, I always think like in the morning, getting kids into the car is like getting them into the car. It's just like, this is the last plane out of Vietnam. Get in the car now. Let's go. That's sometimes how it feels like. So I wanted to address really just what is the basic obligation? What's the basic chiyuv of what a person has to be able to daven? And not look at it from a perspective have to, which could inspire this feeling, okay, but if I'm not doing that, so how am I connecting? What am I doing? But to talk about it from a perspective of look at the opportunity and look how little time or how little I have to do, not in a negative sense, but to be able to fulfill that opportunity, to be able to tap into that opportunity on a daily basis. And there's also the other perspective to realize as time changes in a person's life, so responsibility shifts and the ways I connect shift. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a natural shift of life and a natural shift of responsibilities. And just because, let's say we used to be davening one way, and we used to be connecting this way, and we're not connecting, or we feel like we don't have the time, or we feel like the davening's rushed, or it's not even existent, so that's okay, because that's natural, it's normal. But also to realize it's not so far away. It's not so far that a person, good thing there wasn't water again, it's not so far away that there's a complete disconnect. I once heard and then gave a mashal about, you know, imagine that there's a wall between us and Hashem and we're trying to reach on the other side and you just have to, you know, go at it enough to knock down the wall or take down a few bricks and you finally get to the other side to Hashem. And someone commented to me afterwards, they said, that's a really poor mashal because that seemingly inspires this moment of, I basically have to break against this wall and until I break against that wall, there's a nice big barrier between me and actually connecting to anything in life. I was like, wow, that's yeah, you're right. So instead, he told me a mashal of Rav Kook, which I think is beautiful, and I really think lays the foundation and the path for what we're going to be seeing tonight. So we'll just start with this, with source one over here that Rav Kook says in his Seder HaTfilah, in his commentary on the Seder. So he says, HaTfilah hamasmedes shel neshama mitametzes hi tamid, latzeis min ha'elam el agilui lispashet al kol kochos achayim. He says, the nature of davening, the nature of tefillah, the nature of wanting to be able to talk to Hashem, that's the nature of the soul. That's the nature of a person. And that's within a person. And it's always trying to come out, always trying to reveal itself, to be able to express itself. And it come out into the world, kol ruach v'nefesh, v'kol kochos chaya goya kula. It's trying to express itself to the world, to a person, to life. V'hi mishtokekes gamkin legalos es mehuso. V'koach pu'ulasa al kol hasviva al kol olam. And it's constantly yearning to reveal its essence. Because Hashem created each and every single one of us with a goal to be able to connect to Him. With a goal to be able to feel like I'm one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a partner with Hashem in this world. And the nature of connection happens in many different ways. But one of the integral ways of connection is through conversation, through conversing with someone else. And that's no different between how Hashem created us. What differentiates us between animals and any other entity within this world? Our ability of speech. And not just our ability of speech, but our ability to be able to speak to Hashem, to have a conversation with Hashem. And that inner part of us, the neshama, which was created with that want to be one with Hashem, is constantly trying to express itself through tefillah, constantly trying to come out. And unfortunately, through life, it gets squashed and it kind of gets buried a little bit, to the point that sometimes we don't hear the neshama crying out to be able to speak. We don't feel the need. We don't feel, you know, the want or the desire. Maybe just a tiredness, a numbness, or just a lack of connectivity. But here's the beautiful part about it. In Gimel, he says, "Hatfila mivakeshes mi'aneshama es tafkida." That the tefila asks the soul to express itself, to reach its purpose of connecting. So many years pass by without a person having a proper tefillah, not being able to converse with Hashem properly. So all these blockages happen. And a person feels heavier, they feel tired, they don't feel as inspired. But all of a sudden, when a person has, you know, this spirit, all of a sudden they have, you know, the last wind at the end of a run, right? All of a sudden they feel like they can do something. So comes along tefillah and it starts clearing that path that used to exist. The mashal that Rav Kook basically spells out is that there's a path or there's a creek, and it's always there. But the question is over time, how many stones, how many blockages or thorns come on the path or into the water? And it's not that it doesn't exist anymore. There are just a few blockages. But there's always that path for me to be able to reconnect or go back down. And I just have to be able to clear it away. I have to be able to clear it slowly but surely. And with every tefillah, every time we talk to Hashem, that's another way of clearing that path over and over. And I'm still on that path. It's within me. But it's just something I have to be cognizant and say, okay, so I'm always connected. And I just need to slowly clear away those stones, the dust, the dirt, to be able to connect to my very nature. And I think the point of that is to realize that, like, our nature is to talk to Hashem. The very nature of a person is to want to connect to Hashem. And so we're not so far off. You know, when someone asks, embarrassingly sometimes, so what's the minimum I have to daven? What's the minimum I have to say in order to be able to eat something in the morning before I do whatever I have to do in the morning? So that question, that question can come along with a sense of, I feel bad about asking that. Or we can look at that question of a way saying, I recognize I need to connect. I want to connect. So what can I do to be able to connect while also having to experience all these other things I have to do with in life, right? So we change it from a question of, well, what's my bare minimum because I just want to get by, to a recognition of, okay, I know there's a bare minimum. I know there's something I need to do. I don't want to give up completely. So what can I do to still connect, right? And I think we can just reframe and repurpose that question in that sense. So it actually becomes a beautiful expression of a person's inner self wanting to be able to connect to something greater again. So that's the hashgacha to start, right? That's basically the purpose. So let's talk about the halacha. Right. The goal here is basically to outline. We'll see a little bit of the sugya of the halacha in the background to be able to understand how that comes out practically. And we'll talk about practically what the minimum amount is for different times in a person's life. We'll talk about a little bit eating before davening, and then we'll circle back. We'll circle back at the end. So the basic halacha is the Shulchan Aruch in source 2, and the truth is, anyone who's been to any of my shiurim in the past knows I put down a lot of words. I don't know if we'll read them all inside. But this one we'll read inside, and that is source 2. The Shulchan Aruch says, Nashim, women, afal pi shepeturim mikriya shema, chayavim betfila, mipnei shehi mitzvah saseh shelo yazman grama. That even though, and there's a general rule, that women are peturos, women are exempt from mitzvah saseh shazman grama, that time-bound mitzvahs, so which would mean that the shema is time-bound, because by morning and by night, So there's no obligation for a woman to have to say that technically. But when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to the Amidah, so to say, so that is an obligation for every single person, for every single man, for every single woman. So where's that coming from? So we have two sources. We have two perspectives of what the baseline obligation for a woman is when it comes to davening. So that's going to be the Rambam and the Ramban. And the reason why this is important to know is because this is going to frame and shape and color all subsequent halachos, everything that we see after this. So it's a lot of words, so let's say it outside. So the Rambam's perspective, and the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Rambam in source 3 in the first paragraph. The Rambam says that from the Torah, we know there's an obligation to daven to Hashem, and that's learned out from the fact, from the Pasuk, Ulavdo b'chol avavchem. And what does it mean to serve Hashem with your entire heart? It means to daven, to pray, to be able to connect to Hashem in that fashion. And because of that, the Rambam says, from the Torah, I have an obligation to daven one time a day. Now, what makes up that davening one time a day? So the Magen Avraham and others comment, it means three things. Bakasha, Hoda, and, Bakasha, asking for something, praising, and Shevach, or being Moda, and Shevach, and praising Hashem. So basically, a person could come up in the morning and say, thank you, Hashem, for, you know, getting me up in the morning, and wow, Hashem, you're amazing, and Hashem, can you please grant whatever request? That would technically fulfill the basic obligation in the morning, according to the Rambam. Now, we'll talk about what you actually have to be able to do to be able to fulfill that. But the Rambam basically says like that. And so when it comes to davening and midah and all of that, then the rabbis came along and added all these requirements, added the nature of how a person davens. They added the language, the timing, and that is all derabbanan. That's all added on by the rabbis, and that's time bound. And so women aren't obligated in that. So according to the Rambam, which is the baseline halacha, I mean, this is the baseline opinion for the Rambam, is that it's just one time a day, an expression of Sheva, Hoda, Ubakasha, thank you Hashem, you're amazing, and, you know, can I please have breakfast? Right? That would basically fulfill it according to the Rambam. The Ramban argues, and these are the two opinions, the Ramban argues, and he says, no, when it comes to the Deoraisa, there's no such thing as having to daven once a day. The Deoraisa obligation is whenever you're Be'esara, whenever you're at a real time of need or danger, so then you daven. But as far as the actual obligations, that's all Derabbanan. That's all enacted by the rabbis. And came along the rabbis and said, everyone has to daven at least twice a day, two Amidas. Why? And even women, even though it's time bound, because Rachmani Ninhu. It's Rachmanis, it's mercy. We all need mercy, right? Women, men, children, everyone needs Hashem's help. Everyone needs mercy. So when they came along and said that the baseline is that we're enacting that everyone has to daven twice a day, in the morning and in the afternoon, so that includes everyone. So the difference between the Ramban and the Rambam is that the baseline, according to the Rambam, for women is just one time a day, Sheva, Hoda, Ubakasha, right? Praise, thank you, and a request. According to the Ramban, since the rabbis came along and added this, even for women, it's something more. It's davening twice a day, shachris and mincha. So that's according to the Ramban and the Rambam. Now, the Mishnah Berurah basically says that it's true that the Shulchan Aruch sounds like the Rambam, but we, Ashkenazim, Ashkenazim, hold that like the Ramban, which would mean on the baseline, and again, we're going to work through this. On the baseline, the ideal world would be that a person daven shachris and mincha. When we talk about shachris and mincha, we mean the Amidah, shachris and mincha. So if we were to leave it at that, so that means that we have an ideal that the Ramban is basically saying this is what a person should do. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. And then we have this room for leniency, which is the Rambam, essentially that, okay, as long as a person just daven once a day and they fulfill with these three bakasha, hoda, v'shevach.
What's the Sephardi
stance, though? So I believe I saw in Rav Avadi Yosef that one could rely on this on the Shulchan Aruch, I believe. Now the truth is, I want to check that because it might be. I have to look back at that for Sephardim, because it might be that he was saying that in the context of a later halacha we're going to learn. Where we can rely on the the Magen Avraham. So we're going to get back to that. And if I can't answer it at the shir, in Mitzvah Shem, I'll look it up after. So that's the baseline when it comes to Ashkenazim, or really everyone we'll just talk about for now. Now, what that means is that forget you don't have time, or people are busy with family or jobs or the like. If I'm looking at this halacha, I would say, okay, so I have to daven, and certainly according to Ashkenazi, you have to daven shachas and mincha. Okay, so fine, that might be the ideal, maybe, but now we have to work through, so is that true for everyone? So let's assume we're dealing with a person who really has all the time in the world. So maybe that is an ideal to daven a shachris and mincha. But even a person who's very pressed for time, and we'll talk about the further leniencies in dealing with different situations in life. So the ideal, let's say a person is pressed for time. So what should they do, right? Ignoring the leniencies we're going to talk about in a second.
Yes. Can I rewind for a second?
Yeah, please.
Maybe I'm misreading something because I didn't read all of it, but I don't understand why there's an argument between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam uses the words of Min HaTorah. In Min HaTorah, it's not allowed. And the Ramban, from what I read, it's just like Yesh LaHazhir LeNashim or Chayavu, which would sound like Midir Rabbanan.
So Midir Rabbanan, the rabbis came along and said that these are the things that you have to daven, right? And that was both for men and women, right? So when they came along and they said for both men and women, so they said that regardless of it being a time bound, right? Al kain yesh lahazhir lanashim. That was just his end line of saying, based on everything we've seen, women should be very careful to daven morning and afternoon, right?
Okay.
But he doesn't mean lahazhir, like careful as in, and ideal, but b'di'evet, whatever he means, like that's the halacha. Right. And again, and no one should leave right now, because this is not the baseline for each and every single person. We're going to talk about how that applies to a person's life. So, assuming not a person is not crazy busy with other obligations, with interpersonal obligations. So, what that would mean is the ideal is shachris, mincha, amida, davening the brachos in the morning, the first line of Shema, and going down the line of other parts of davening. Now, the reason why is because the Amida is the baseline obligation, and Shema is accepting Hashem upon ourselves, and the brachos in the morning are basically thanking Hashem for everything we have, and we shouldn't benefit from the world without thanking Hashem. And then the bracha after Shema is, remembering that Hashem took us out of Egypt. So there's an order of that which is more important to daven if a person was out of time. But still, based on this, the two Amidas, shachris and mincha. And again, but even within that world, before we even get to the other leniencies and the other applications for each and every single person's life, just to realize there is that world of the Rambam, that the Rambam is saying the baseline obligation, the Deoraisa, is just that one phrase of the thank you, I praise you, and I need something, please help me. And of course, that's always something to realize that's the leniency going on in the background to fall back on here. At least that's what many of the Rishonim and many of the commentaries are going to be using. Okay. So, based on that, what if a person is busy, right? A person is busy with many interpersonal obligations throughout their life. And for many people, that looks different. You can have, obviously, people taking care of their parents, and that mamish takes up so much of their day and their life. And everyone can have their own examples. One of the most common examples is, of course, someone raising a family. And the phrase used in these cases is called trudos, is called busy, right? That basically sums about up everyone's lives. Mm-hmm. Busy. So when someone is tarud, when they have this halachic category of trudos, of busy, so then the obligation for davening falls back into the world of the Rambam. Which means that I'm tarud. I don't have the time for anything. Meaning I don't know how to do anything. Not because someone is incapable, but just because life is so overwhelming sometimes. So then that falls back into the world of the Rambam, which is that basic, what we would call tefillah k'tzara, which is that basic obligation of Sheva Choda Eubakasha, right? Thank you, Hashem, for waking me up. You're amazing. Pass the Cheerios. Good. Done. So that would be the baseline. So what's the reason for this? So either you could say, like Rav Moshe says, like the Magen Avraham is because we're falling back on the Rambam. Others explain it's almost like attending the sick, right? Just like someone taking care of their parents, and it takes up their whole headspace, their whole world, right? So such a person, while they're doing so, wouldn't have an obligation to be davening, because that's what they need to be doing at this moment. So someone busy with their kids, the same thing could be said. Their whole everything, their headspace, everything is taken up with that time and what they need to be doing, and throughout different parts of their day. And so that would be another reason to say that there's this patur, that there's this exemption from those two times a day of Shacharis and Mincha, and you fall back into this world of the Rambam of Tefillah Ketzara, of just one time a day thanking Hashem through the prism of those three ways. Another way to express it is that Trudos, busy, just means like a traveler. If someone's traveling, and this was in the olden days, we were traveling on the camel and the horse, and it's just tiring and exhausting. I mean, taking a road trip all the way up to New York is also tiring and exhausting. Mm-hmm. I haven't tried it by horse, but certainly a person back then traveling, the Gemara explains, has no yishuv adas. Their mind is so unsettled. They're everywhere. And if they're everywhere, and we know davening is a nevodah shebelev, it's about service of the heart to be able to connect to Hashem. So if my heart isn't free, if my mind isn't free, so then that's not fulfilling the davening. That's not a proper davening. And because of that, a traveler shouldn't daven until he actually arrives where he's going. And based on that, so a person's mind is so embedded, so enmeshed in their life and what they're trying to take care of. They're trying to take care of their family. They're trying to take care of any other person, the interpersonal obligations that a person might have. So they're like a traveler who just has no yishuv adas. Their mind is everywhere but here. And because of that, they would be, says the Chazanish, and Reb Moshe Sternbach says a similar thing, that they would be paturos, that they wouldn't have the same obligation as they had before. So if that's the case, the way to fulfill it is with a tefillah ketzara. The way to fulfill a woman's obligation in davening, when in this world of what we would call a halakhically trudos, a busy of just, I don't know what the other word is, but busy, right? Mentally, you know, focused on so many other things. So we fall back onto the obligation of a tefillah ketzara, of just saying a small tefillah to Hashem. You know, when talking about this like traveler type of idea, so I saw something really amazing. I checked with my wife if this was okay to say. So, you know, it must be okay then. So I saw this very interesting fact that sloths during mating season are really tired. So the female sloths hang upside down on a tree and they don't go anywhere. So how do they get a mate? So they just screech, right? So I thought that was amazing when I saw this. This is a fantastic muscle for life. Right? Sometimes, and I really do feel this way, sometimes I feel like I'm hanging upside down from my life, you know, for dear life. I'm just holding on to something upside down because nothing makes sense, right? Life is just crazy. I don't know what's going on. And I'm tired. I'm just tired. And the only thing I know how to do is just turn to Hashem. No, Hashem, just help me out here. Give me a lifeline. You know, can you come to me? Can you give me some chias? Give me something here, right? So that's like the traveler. And at that point, I'm upside down in this limb. I can't daven the Amida right now. Are you kidding me? I'm hanging on for dear life. I can say it to Felix Zara. I can say something just, Hashem, you're amazing. I appreciate everything you've done in my life. But can you help me? Can you give me a hand here? Right? And such a tefillah, such an expression towards Hashem is one that invites Hashem into our lives. And again, this is not bidiyevet. This isn't saying, well, now that I'm in this stage in life, or now I'm at this point in life, and I don't have the time, so I guess bidiyevet, I fall back onto what we call this tefillah ketzara, this short prayer. It's not called bidiyevet. This is the lechatchila. This is the ideal where if that's where a person is in life, that's ideal. And to look at it as ideal, because this will be the way I will connect to Hashem. This is the way I'll express myself to Hashem. This is the way I'll bring Hashem into my life. So what counts as a tefillah ketzara? So it's true, we said, in any language, any expression, expressing hodah, shevach, ubakasha, the thank you, the praise, the request, it's true in any language, anything. A person can get up in the morning, as we said, say moda'ani, thank you Hashem, and whatever, you know, please help me get through the day. So they could say that. Ideally, what would be ideal is birchas ha-shachar, that the blessings, the morning blessings, from Asher Nasan Lasechvi all the way until Gomel Chasadim Tov Le'amo Yisrael. So those 15 brachos, those express all three of those. They express the thanks, they express the praise, and they express the request. right? So if a person gets up in the morning and has, 5 minutes, I don't know how long it takes a person, I haven't timed myself to say these, with kavana, without kavana, but however long it takes a person to say those, so that would be the ideal way to fulfill this tefillah ktzara, right? This small prayer to Hashem. And it's also, if a person has an extra second, just say the first line of Shema, right? The first line. And that would be it. If that's what a person can get in the morning to be able to bring Hashem into their life, to start off the day like that, that's amazing. That's unbelievable, because that's the baseline obligation for a person who's tired, for a person who's busy, for a person who has these interpersonal obligations that they don't have time for anything else. Their head is just everywhere else. To be able to start the day with that is unbelievable. When Hashem created the world, and then He finally created man, so Rashi brings down in early in Bereishis that nothing was growing, right? Nothing was growing from the ground, and we had to wait for Adam Rishon to daven, to pray that the produce and everything should come out from the ground, that everything should grow. So I was thinking that's like how our day starts, right? Our day starts as it will be. And we had the opportunity to be able to daven to Hashem to bring out success in the day, to be able to bring out whatever is going to happen in this day. Hashem, it's on you. I don't know what's going to be. Hashem, I need a lot of help. I'm going to need a lot of help doing X, Y, and Z. And that's how a person starts their day, just like how Bereishis, how the world started. So my day is a new Bereishis. It's a new beginning. So let me start it off that way with the prayer to be able to bring out the produce, bring out success for my day, for my life. And of course, with each bracha, it's a way to be able to recognize and thank Hashem. Again, however much kavanah a person can have, the focus, fine. But just to be able to get through those 15 brachos is tremendous. Another aspect of that is when we start off a day with brachos, and if we think about it this way, that this is how I'm going to start off my day. And this is how I'm going to fulfill my obligation of davening and connecting my soul back to Hashem. So it's an opportunity then to realize throughout the rest of the day, I have moments to be able to fulfill, so to say, that basic obligation. I've already fulfilled in the morning. But if the baseline obligation is just the Sheva Hodah, Ubakasha, these three things, so throughout my day, I'm doing that, right? Throughout my day, I have the opportunity, right? When I say, please Hashem, please don't let the cereal fall on the floor, right? I'm saying that's a tefillah. I'm not joking. When I'm driving and I'm tired, Hashem, just help me stay awake. Right, every moment that we talk to Hashem outside the regular confines of davening, what we're used to, of the words that Chazal have given us, however powerful they are, what's also powerful is our ability to express ourselves in our daily life, just to be able to talk to Hashem like a friend, like a confidant, like someone who's actually there. And it's not fake. It's something real, and it's an outpouring, something coming, as we saw from Rukuk, something coming from very deep within. So I don't know how deep it feels to me right now, but that's a way to be able to connect to Hashem throughout the day, right? There's a strand to be able to connect us. There's a pasuk in Bereishis when Naftali, when Rachel names Naftali, in source 4, she says, Naftuli Elokim, Niftalti Imachusi. So she says, with divine bonds, I've been joined to my sister because I also have had a child. So the Targum over there, and Rashi quotes it in source 5, is that Naftuli comes from a language of a binding, of connection. So I saw in Rabbi Nachman and a few other Hasidic sources, yes, the letters aren't the exact, but they basically darshan from there, that Tfila, very similar to Naftali, is a very similar idea of a bonding, of a binding, of a connection between us and Hashem. And just like a psil, just like a thread, a woven thread made up of so many different threads. So throughout my day, I have so many different threads to be able to connect me to Hashem. They're not big ropes, right? It's not this big long amida. It's not this big, crying. But there's small little moments, small little threads that eventually twine together and build together to create a really strong rope and a relationship between me and Hashem throughout the day. And again, it starts with waking up in the morning. If we have the ability, if there's a possibility to be able to wake up and say those 15 brachos and to say the first line of Shema, that's an unbelievable opportunity and moment. So that would be what essentially fulfills the baseline halacha. Now I will say, and this is not to make anyone feel like if they can't do this, so then I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But in a world where a person has an extra 5 minutes to be able to daven an amida, whether Shachris, whether Mincha, that's fantastic, it's amazing. But to realize that if I just got in those 15 brachos and I just got in that first line of Shema, that's my obligation, and I just did something fantastic, tremendous, and that's a real connection to Hashem starting off my day. I would add that husbands being on board with this is a very is very important, is a nice idea, because they realize the importance of their spouse being able to daven. They realize the importance that brings to the home, that brings to their lives. So speaking from the other side, it's a tremendous zuchos, a tremendous thing for a spouse to be able to try to give you those 5 minutes if possible. Right? I know it's very, very, very hard to daven, with phones ringing, this, like someone like tugging on your leg, whatever. I know. Now, do I know as much? No, but I understand. So that's just that's another part of it. Now, the other question that often comes up is eating before davening, right? Can I eat before davening? I wake up. I'm not going to, even if I'm going to daven in a mitzvah, that's not happening until later. Mincha, maybe. And even if I'm not going to do that, but brachos, I barely have time to gain brachos. Maybe I can say brachos, in an hour from now. But can I eat right now? Right? Or I don't feel well in the morning as soon as I wake up. Am I allowed to eat? So based on the baseline Rambam, right? The Rambam and what we're relying on for a person who's tarud, who's busy. But whether a person is tarud or whether they're not, every woman can rely on the Rambam and that Magen Avraham, that the baseline tefillah, the baseline obligation is Shevach Hodah, Ubakasha. Those three things, right? Praise, thanks, and a request. So once someone does that, so then they can eat, right? And that's whether or not you're tarud, whether or not you're within this category of someone who's busy and their mind is everywhere, mm-hmm. right? Because that's, again, the baseline Rambam in the background. So that being the case, every woman out there has the ability to say whatever tefillah they'll say. Again, Birchas HaShachar, the 15 brachos would be ideal, and then eat. But any tefillah would technically fulfill that obligation to then be able to eat. And then even someone who's not tarud, even then someone who should or who has the opportunity to daven more, so then they can daven further afterwards. But just to realize that applies to everyone. Now there is one interesting thing. Yes.
Quick question: is there any other like tefillah that is a quick?
So
birchas. Like moda'ani.
Right. So So it's true. Moda'ani gets the thanks in.
Right.
But a person would still have to get the other two. But birchas haTorah. Birchas haTorah. If you have intention that should be your davening, not just birchas haTorah for thanking Hashem for the Torah and an opportunity to learn it and be connected to a Torah lifestyle, but you have in mind that these brachos on the Torah, these two brachos, mm-hmm. I'm fulfilling my obligation, in your mind. That's, what you're doing. So that would be sufficient. So I suppose that is shorter than the 15 brachos of Birchas HaShachar. So that would be one option. But again, if a person really isn't feeling well or they really need to eat, so then a simple expression in your own words of Moda Ani, thank you for getting me up in the morning. Hashem, you're amazing. And please make my day go a little bit easier, please.
Does coffee apply to eating tea? That's all I want to know.
No, so a person can drink coffee and tea before davening.
Okay.
We're talking about eating, which you can only do after davening, so you fulfilled your. Trust me, I'm with you. Okay.
But the bracha you'd make on whatever you're going to eat is going to count towards that as well.
So it's interesting, right? So should the bracha meaning I suppose. The bracha itself is a, yes, it would be a praise, but, or a thank. Well, it depends, right? It's I guess how you learn brachos. It would be a praise, but you'd still have to get the other two in, which is
so
the
Modei would be your thanks. Bracha would be your praise. Yeah.
And before that, you would have had to get in a, please help me.
I think that happens when you're like just praying that only one of the kids is awake.
Right.
It has to be verbalized and like heard.
Yes, it should be verbalized. Again, this is the fulfillment, right? We're not, this becomes, certainly for someone who's tarud, right? Someone who's this patur, so to say, a busy, this becomes the davening. So davening has to be expressed. As much as it's a service of the heart has to be expressed, right? Devarim shebelev in the devarim, something that remains in the heart is not it's not counted. It has to be expressed, come out into the world. But yes, so all these would be good ideas. The reason why we say the 15 Birchos HaShachar are ideal is because there is a question, there's a possibility that regardless of one's obligation, should they daven two amidas or they in a stage of life where they can just say these three things, Birchos HaShachar was a question if when Chazal came along and said, well, everyone should daven amida, everyone, were those brachos included? Mm-hmm. So once you're already, you know, doing your short prayer, so might as well use that as your short prayer. But again, I completely agree. Mode ani, the bracha, the please, you know, only one kid be awake, so or none, that would be enough.
Debate though about whether or not Chazal was speaking about women and men, or is that not?
When they came along and said everyone's obligated, so according to the Ramban, it was clear everyone's obligated, and therefore on a baseline level, according to the Ramban, women
Ramban,
should.
But not.
Not the Rambam, right?
Right. So there was a machloket.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Correct. The Rambam thinks the baseline obligation for the Torah for everyone is once a day, however you'll daven. Came along the rabbis, according to the Rambam, and said, now we're adding, you know, how a person davened, but that was only for men because it's time bound. The Ramban says, no, you got it wrong. There's no deoraisa to daven once a day. The once, twice a day, the rabbis came along and said everyone needs it, men and women, even though it's time bound because everyone needs rachmanis, everyone needs help from Hashem, right? But again, we fall back on the Rambam. Certainly for everyone when it comes to eating after davening, so that tefillah, sorry, that short tefillah can be your davening, so to say, to eat. And then for anyone who is not within this category of busy of tarud, could then daven further afterwards. But anyone who's tarud within this category, that would be their tefillah, that would be their davening, and then they eat and go about their day.
Kiddush,
I wanted to mention this. Yes, it's a great question. So Kiddush becomes an obligation whether for men or for women. Once you daven. Okay, great. So I'm a little caught here. All right, I want to have my cereal and milk. Okay, or whatever someone has Shabbos morning, right? Cinnabon? Cinnabon is still around? Yeah, okay, so I want my Cinnabon. Okay, so I'll daven and now I'll eat. But do I need to do Kiddush? Because if for someone not in the category of Tarud, not in the category of busy, so this didn't fulfill their obligation of Tefillah, so they still need to daven, so they wouldn't need to do Kiddush yet. But for anyone who's within this category of tarud, of busy, whether this interpersonal obligation is taking care of a family, so that became, that fulfilled your obligation of davening. So now you can't eat till you say Kiddush. So, Rishon Zalman Orbach holds, so then a woman should say Kiddush. Meaning anyone within this category of tarud, they should say the brachos, whatever they're going to be saying to fulfill their obligation of tefillah, you should say Kiddush, and then they can eat.
Right.
Are there other opinions on that?
On Kiddush?
Yeah.
Yes. Rav Moshe holds that even so, a woman is not obligated in Kiddush until her husband is obligated in Kiddush, in which case, if your husband isn't done with chakras, so you don't have to make Kiddush until your husband is done. What?
I like that one.
Oh, okay, good. The general timing.
In the morning when you're
there,
you're definitely fine.
Right. Hashkama minyan. There you go. No, so there are definitely other opinions. I'll put it out there, meaning that a woman wouldn't have to say Kiddush right away because even though she fulfilled her obligation, her husband didn't yet. That's Rav Moshe. It's my understanding, at least, you know, the way I think that many people follow Rosh Zalman Orbach. That's certainly what my wife does. But if anyone has the different custom, that's completely sourced and makes sense.
Right. I'm just curious. I've always followed, my grandfather told me years ago, and he's like a Heimish Hasidish man, and he said that just say brachos and then
eat and then kiddush.
Only if you said Shema or anything else after brachos do you have to make kiddush. And I don't know what that source is, but I went with it.
No, so good. So for anyone who's tarud, anyone who's within this category of or busy, so then they fulfill their obligation with the brachos.
Right.
So then, unless he was saying for someone who's not tarud, someone who doesn't have the who doesn't have that patur, the patur of tarud, so then they still have to daven afterwards. In which case, so then kiddush would come later. But even someone who's tarud, who fulfilled their obligation with those three bracha or with those three expressions. And so then Rav Moshe would say, you also can wait till later when your husband is obligated. Again, whatever anyone holds, that's completely fine. But many people hold by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that you make Kiddush before you eat.
So the idea of being tired, like the busy, is that day dependent or is that like stage dependent?
It's an entire world called life. Okay. It's stage dependent, okay. Right? It doesn't go based
it's
on the
like,
day, right?
Oh, you have a babysitter that day, so like.
Correct. Yeah. No. And by the way, I saw brought down in Rig Shelei this beautiful sefer written on Tefillah for Women, that relaxation is also a part of that because, people need relaxation to function, to be able to run a family, to be able to help out, to just be a functioning human being. So you're going to say, oh. Well, I'm going to relax and sit on my phone. Oh, how am I doing that? I need to daven. No, that's part of this overall picture of Tarot, of this is your life right now. And you fulfilled your obligation in the way of starting off your day with those expression of brachos or the expression of hodah, bakasha, and shabach. Again, if there's time in a day to be able to get in a mita, fantastic. But it shouldn't come at the expense of anything else, and certainly not this guilty feeling of it's weighing on my mind. If a person needs relaxation, that goes within this category of that's how a person functions in life.
Thank you.
Yeah. So there's I'm just trying to think. So I think that basically covers the halachos. There is one last thing which I just want to. I saw this Sichos Haran. And again, it's been expressed in other places. I just happen to have seen it in Rabbi Nachman's teachings in Sichos Haran. He says something beautiful. And I really, this applies to every single person in life, at any stage in life, male, female. He says in Source 6, Tov me'od l'hashlich atzmo al Hashem yisbarach v'lismoch alav. It's really good to throw yourself onto Hashem. As the Pasuk says, Hashlech al Hashem yahavcha. Throw your burdens on Hashem. It's a good thing. The darki, my way is kishabah hayom ani moser kol hatnuos sheli v'shel banai v'hatluyim bi al Hashem yisparach shiyah kol kirtzono yisparach. I say, nu Hashem, I'm throwing everything onto you. Everything should be as you want it to be. V'zeh tov mod. This is really, it's a good way to live life. V'gam azay ein sarach lidog v'lachshov klal im misnahei karoyim lav. And then I don't need to worry. Are things going as they're supposed to? Is this supposed to happen? Me'achash shesom echalav yisparach. Okay, what I have to do what I need to do. I have to do my ishtadlus. I have to properly conduct myself throughout the day. But to be so worried and hung up on the results, so that's on Hashem. V'im hu yisbarach rotz b'inyan acher, if Hashem wants it to be another way and the day goes another way, hu merutz elis nachig b'inyan acher, kirtzon yisbarach. So that's the way it'll go. And that's okay, because I throw myself on Hashem. I say, hashlech al Hashem yihavcha, throw everything on Hashem. Why do we have to burden the stress? Why do we have to sit with, well, what are the results going to be? I do what I need to do in life, and then I say, Hashem, the results are up to you. And of course, that's easier said than done. But it's a perspective to go into the day of basically saying, okay, so Hashem, you're here, you're going to care for me, you're going to help me, and I'm makir, I recognize that relationship from the minute I wake up. I recognize I'm going to speak to you with these three permutations. Or if I'm at a different stage of life, more. And throughout the day, I'm going to try to find little strands of thread to connect myself further and further till I'm tied to you. I saw a beautiful story. Well, I'm with this, I think, that the Chernobyl Rebbe, he was known to daven a lot, to really have a fiery davening. So one time, one of his chassidim was very curious what he was davening about. So he kind of inched over to the corner where the Rebbe was davening, a lot of chutzpah, and he overheard that the Rebbe was davening, Hashem, we have cleaning help, and she's thinking about leaving. Please put into her mind that she shouldn't leave. We really need her. Please put it into her mind. So the chassid was a little stunned. That's what this holy, lofty Rebbe is davening about. The person who spends 15 hours a day learning, enveloped in avodas Hashem, enveloped in fiery davening, is davening about cleaning help, really? So not only did he have the chutzpah to listen in, he had the chutzpah to go over to the Rebbe afterwards and say, that's what you're davening about? Like, Rebbe, like that's what a person should be davening about? So the Chernobyl Rebbe looked at him and he says, who else am I supposed to ask? Mm-hmm. Who else am I going to ask? I heard that story and it has never left me. Mm-hmm. I love that story. Because so many times throughout the day, certainly when you wake up in the morning, and certainly in the middle of the day, somebody's just like, I don't know, who else am I supposed to ask? What else am I supposed to do? But Hashlich al Hashem Yehavchai, I throw it into Hashem's court. Of course, I have to do what I need to do. And I have to go about my day doing and fulfilling my obligations and making sure I'm doing the right things. But ultimately, who else am I supposed to ask? And to start off a day like that, to realize that that's the perspective we can have throughout the day. And again, I understand. That might be how I start it. And then 5 minutes in, I've been totally sidetracked with whatever else is going on in life. But if that's the baseline, so there's really something to be able to build from there. Beautiful opportunities, even if the baseline obligation is just those three permutations of Shevach Hodah Ubakasha, that's a beautiful way to connect ourselves to start off the day with Hashem, to be able to have it go further. And I'll just add, there's one last thing. That's Gedusha Slavi says something fantastic. And he says that the Gemara Megillah says that in the future, all the shuls and all the yeshivas, they're going to be transported to Eretz Yisrael because of all the mitzvot that were done within them. They'll become Chafsa Shel Kedusha, they'll become holy entities, and they're going to be transported to Eretz Yisrael, whatever that means. And the Kedusha Slavi in Pirkei Avos comments, and he says, so if when it comes to the shuls and the yeshivas, which are full of mitzvos, many of them mitzvos derabanan, rabbinical mitzvos, so all the more so the Jewish home, which is full of mitzvos deoraisa, tons of mitzvos, the Jewish home, al achas kama v'kama, all the more so the Jewish homes are going to be transported to Eretz Yisrael. Because what we do in our homes has a huge impact, not just on those around us, but has an impact on the physical reality of our homes, on the physical world. And it's something to be able to realize that we're changing the world around us, we're changing ourselves, and we're changing the physical reality. And that's just a perspective, something to be able to think about when we go throughout the day. And again, who else are we supposed to ask, right? So that's just hopefully a perspective, a way to be able to look at our day, to be able to look at tefillah. And in Yirtzeh Hashem next week, a lot of people have talked about Purim. Purim is one of, in 2 weeks. Mm. Life's busy. I can't keep my head straight. In 2 weeks from now, we're going to talk about Purim because if life is busy, Purim is busier. And I have heard, B'zeh Lashon, this exact thing, Purim is the busiest day of my life, the busiest yontiv of my life. So in Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll talk about Purim and how to apply that craziness to busyness, how to find some meaning in that. And be able to pull it into Purim and the rest of life. So if anyone has any questions, happy to discuss. But again, thank you so much for hosting. Thank you for advertising. Thank you for coming. Okay.
Thank you so much.
I just want to add that in Source 2, when the Shulchan Aruch says that women are chayavos, that they should still daven, of course the Shulchan Aruch is coming from the Rambam. And the Rambam holds that women on a baseline obligation should daven the Amidah, should daven the Shmona Esrei once a day. and when we talk about the Magen Avraham that the Mishnah Berurah brings down and others bring down, so it means that for those who are trudos, for those who have interpersonal obligations and they don't have the time or the headspace or the ability to be able to daven the Shmona Esrei, so then one could fulfill the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch with a tefillah ktsara, with those three aspects to davening, which is the Shevach Hodah Ubakasha, the praise, the thanks, and the request from Hashem. And this would be true for Sephardim and Ashkenazim alike. And that is on the basic level, without interpersonal obligations, that a woman would have the obligation of two Shmona Esrei a day in that ideal world. But again, once one is tarred, once one has those obligations, so then that world of the tefillah ktsara, of that short prayer, including those three aspects, is certainly sufficient, and it's a beautiful way to fulfill one's obligation each and every single day. And it was asked, can you say moda'ani and then have a request and then say the bracha on the food if you need to, and if you want to be able to eat in the morning and daven right beforehand? So while I think it would work, it's certainly ideal and better to be able to daven a tefillah that includes all three of these together, as opposed to piecemeal, which is why it's a fantastic, beautiful way to be able to start off the day whenever possible and fulfill the basic obligation of tefillah with Birchas HaShachar, with saying the brachos, the morning brachos. Because again, it's just another way to be able to tie ourselves, bracha by bracha, tefillah by tefillah, to Hashem, in that we're able to experience and see Hashem throughout the rest of the day.